Ghost Beast!
Ghost Beast.
Ghost Beast!
A horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
Hi. So, we just hit 100 episodes recently, and we decided that we wanted to change things up a little bit. I think recently we'd been thinking about Are You Afraid of the Dark, the TV series, because of a lot of horror from last year that was really playing on nostalgia. Like, I think the big one was I saw the TV glow. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's seen it knows a big part of that movie involves a TV show that these characters saw when they were a kid that had like a big impact on them and was really horrifying. And then when they watch it as adults, it's maybe a little more ridiculous than they remember from when they were a kid. And I've heard like a lot of people have different theories on like what show this is like aping, you know? Like, I've heard some people swear that it's Buffy.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I've also heard people say that it's Are You Afraid of the Dark? Mm-hmm. I don't know if the director might have actually said what it was based on. I haven't seen it though. So that might already be out there. But I know for me, and I think Goosebumps is another big one.
Yeah.
Did you really watch Goosebumps?
I feel like I watched Goosebumps as much as I probably watched Are You Afraid in the Dark?
Oh, really?
Out of the Dark. Yeah.
I feel like I missed Goosebumps for some
really?
Reason. It's weird because I didn't read the books either. That seems like it would have been totally up my weird rabbit hole, you know? I don't like how that phrase sounded. But I did watch Are You Afraid of the Dark? And yeah, I remember as a kid being scared shitless of it, especially the opening, which when we watched the opening again, hold on, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. What we're doing now, we decided to go back, revisit. And so now we are going to spin off the podcast into a full on Are You Afraid of the Dark? Recap show as we go through the series as adults and see how it's held up, how much we remember, you know. And we're going to be covering one episode every week, starting with this one, with episode one. I think there's like over 100 episodes, so we'll be busy for a while. But to set it up, I guess we should talk about the history of the show a little and our history with it. So you were a little bit younger than me. So you were watching it when it came out?
Yeah.
Because it started in 92.
Oh, probably not.
So you would have been 2 years old.
Yeah, no, probably not. I want to say I probably started watching it maybe when I was in like first or second grade.
Okay.
Maybe.
That checks out because I think I was around that age, maybe a little older. I do remember it being like a big deal when they were announcing it. There was definitely a lot of fanfare around it. And when I looked it up, the interesting thing is this aired originally in 1990 in Canada. This is one of those weird ass Canadian shows that made it down here to America. And it was created by his name is DJ McHale. This is like his big grand idea. And what they decided to do is they aired the first episode on Halloween night.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And specifically, it was the episode The Tale of the Twisted Claw, which is actually episode 4 of the like regular series. But they made that one into the pilot with like a different cast for the Midnight Society. So when they really picked it up, they reshot all the Midnight Society stuff, made that a big part of the story, and had a new episode as episode 1, which is called The Tale of the Phantom Cab, which is what we are covering on today's episode. What's funny is like reading some of the stuff about DJ McHale, like he was definitely someone who took this show, like this was his baby. Mm-hmm. You know, he took it very seriously. It does sound like its origins are very like very practical. Maybe he wasn't like the most artistic person because he was really trying to come up with something that would have like commercial appeal. And I think it like originally started out as literally just an old man telling stories in front of a fire. And it was like, it started out with stories that were like in the public domain, so they wouldn't have to pay for them. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it sounded like one of those things you would see on an infomercial late at night, like these VHS tapes that a parent could buy if they didn't have time to read stories to their kid, basically. And it kind of evolved from there and got picked up by Nickelodeon. And it's funny because reading about him, it sounds like there were a lot of ways that he seemed very forward thinking, very smart with the way he was doing this. And there's other ways that he was like very out of touch and didn't quite understand what he was doing. Because one of the things right out the gate is that when it was getting planned to air on Halloween night, he was like super against that because he thought like, oh, all the kids are going to be out trick or treating. No one's going to watch it. It's just going to be dead on the vine, basically. And couldn't have been further from the truth because it exploded and became super popular. And that's why it got picked up and turned into this big series. But it is funny because then when it was aired in America, it was aired on October 25th in 1991. So I think he was still holding out like, no, we are not airing this on Halloween. No fucking way. But I think 92 is when it started like for real. And at that point, they recast the whole Midnight Society, made that a big part of the connective tissue between the stories. And that, too, he hated, which I saw.
He seems to go against the grain on things that make it successful.
Yeah, that's one way to put it, I guess. I guess some people, it's like that. You know, they don't quite understand what is going to resonate. And I guess it's probably extra tough when you're making stuff for kids, because who the fuck knows what they want and how their brains work. But I think he really wanted to focus on the stories, and he thought the Midnight Society shit was like ridiculous and unnecessary. But of course, as a kid, it's like, this is the coolest shit ever. I want to be. And the name Midnight Society, are you kidding me?
Yeah, of like, course you cool want to be a part fuck. Of that. Yeah.
Yes. And some of the other stuff, I think it still ties back to his original like practical thinking. Which is like, I thought it was interesting. He would location scout before writing the stories. Because his thought, I guess this is part of working on a tight budget, was instead of writing a story and then having to find a location that fits it, he would find a location and then figure out a story in that location. Which like takes away some of the magic maybe from the stories, but it's smart. You know, it's a smart way to think. And I also give him credit. I think later on, he was getting pressure to make the stories like less dark, and he was like, fuck that. Like, not fucking with my vision on that. Which, give him a lot of credit, because, I guess that's something we could talk about first, is that, you know, we set this up and we talked about I saw the TV glow. I do remember this series being, my stomach will not stop making noises.
I don't know what to do about that.
It's okay. It probably isn't getting picked up.
Probably not.
Yeah, as a kid, this was super fucking scary. Like it worked. It was like, it was absolutely terrifying. And I always knew that it wasn't gonna hold up if I went back to it, because I haven't seen it since then, since like in the 90s. I don't know if you've ever revisited it.
No, I don't think I've revisited it either. I think it just kind of have that memory kind of locked in.
Yeah, and even that, it's like I just have these weird memories that half of them I'm like, I don't know if that's real. I don't know if that's like from something else that I'm attributing to this. But I know for me, like, I remembered the clown episode. I remember that scaring the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was like the beginning of your clown phobia.
It could be. If I had seen it, I must have blocked it out.
Yeah.
Because...
Oh, yeah. You didn't remember it?
No, I don't think I really did. I think I remember the door. So if anything, I probably remember part of it. Hmm. It probably scared me so bad, I might have stopped watching at some point.
Yeah, you must have been very young, so that's not surprising. And the big one was, I remember there being an episode in a mall that had like medieval shit. I think it was like a video game coming to life. And that was like something where I was looking through the episodes, and when I saw that episode, it was like, holy shit. It like really fucked my brain up, like seeing that. It's like, oh my God, this is real. So I can't wait to get to that episode.
Yeah, I have to go through all of the like episodes and see which ones kind of trigger any memories for me.
But watching it now, it is like, obviously, it's a little ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It is like, it's like, it does feel like they made these campfire tales into a TV series. Because it's not just that, like, I mean, obviously you have the Midnight Society stuff. The whole structure is it's these kids, which we'll get into that with the episode. But the whole structure is that it's these kids telling these campfire stories and they're being, you know, shown in front of you. But like, yeah, you remember as a kid what these campfire stories were like. They were never like super complex, you know, with all these interesting characters. It was always like very simplistic. It was all about like setting up the story so you could have the big punchline that scares the shit out of people. Mm-hmm. And it just feels so much like that. You know, like I think they set out to make kind of like the Twilight Zone for kids, and it totally is yeah. like that. But yeah, the storytelling structure is like, it's so simple. It's so silly.
Yeah.
And you can see how like, it's just perfect for a child's brain to like comprehend everything. And as an adult, it just feels kind of ridiculous. But it's cool. There's like charm to that, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's very campy. And it's definitely, it's just something that's fun to put on at night and kind of relive. I would wonder like how the current generations would feel about this, because a lot of this is tinted by nostalgia. There's no question.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like even like our nieces and nephews, like if they were to watch this, I don't know if it would hold their attention like it may have held ours.
I mean, they're watching like that fucking zombie, the zombie movies on Disney Channel. I think yeah. that shit's way dumber than this. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Guess if you can get them early enough, you know, it'll probably still fuck them up.
That's the goal.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? That's the kind of shit you carry your whole life. Yeah. It's great. But look, why don't we get into the episode? And
can we close that blind? The sun's so bright. Oh, I can't like look at you. Wow. Is that good? Yes, thank you. I'm trying to like look at you as you talk, but the sun is so bright.
But yeah, a lot of fun. I enjoyed revisiting this. We enjoyed it so much we watched the second episode too.
Yeah.
But we're going to get to that episode later. but yeah, why don't we just get right into episode one, The Tale of the Phantom Cat. Do got a call out. Before we get into the episode proper, that opening mm-hmm. with the music and everything, it's like, it is insane how ingrained that is in my brain. Because yes. I literally haven't watched this since the 90s, and I remembered every single beat of that fucking opening.
Me too.
Every little bit of music and sound effect. And yeah, I remember that was the thing, watching it as a kid. That's when you start getting like, oh shit, here we go. Like, I gotta get ready for this. Like, it really sets the mood so well.
It does. And I can specifically remember like sitting on the floor in our old apartment watching this on the CRT TV and like being on the floor with a blanket like having like my face covered sometimes because I was so scared, but I had to watch it.
I've been thinking about trying to find a nice CRT, mostly for like doing some old school gaming stuff, you know, get right back to my roots. It would be fun to watch stuff like this on there too, because it's just, there's something lost when you're watching it on like a 65 inch OLED 4K TV. It's a little different.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then after the opening, we get the typical Midnight Society setup. We get introduced to all these characters. This is strange. I think I want to talk about this because I think as a kid, you just accept like, yeah, sure, it's an awesome ass club with these kids telling scary stories. But they set it up as like, it's dead fucking serious. All the kids seem to be like scared out of their minds. Like, mm-hmm. they're taking this dead serious. And just the idea that like they specifically mention like they don't go to school together. They are not friends. Like, how did these people meet? This is before the internet.
We go to different schools. And we have different friends. But one thing draws us together. The dark.
So it's like, how the fuck did this start? Did they ever go into like the origins of the Midnight Society?
I mean, if they did, I don't remember. I'm not sure. That is weird. I didn't really...
That's what I'm saying. I think that's definitely me bringing the adult thinking into it. It was like, wait a minute, what are these fucking kids doing? In the middle of the woods, how old are these kids? Like, do their parents know they're here? Like, what is going on here?
Maybe they're all, like, neighborhood kids, maybe? I don't know.
I guess. I think they do set it up as, like, you can invite people in, but it still is, like, where did this begin? Like, how did they get to know each other? Because, yeah, the big thing is that this episode has a new person being introduced to the group named Frank. They bring him in blindfolded. It's like a full-on initiation. And they set up that, much like Fight Club, if it's your first night, you got to tell a story. So this whole episode is Frank's story, which they have to vote on unanimously if he's going to be accepted into the Midnight Society. It's a lot of pressure. And another great piece of trivia that I did read, because, you know, even watching it now, when they do their whole thing where they throw the powder into the fire and everything, it's like, oh shit, this is so cool.
I call this story The Tale of the Phantom Cab.
Yeah, apparently it was like non-dairy creamer, which for some reason just fucking makes flames like erupt like crazy.
Yeah.
And it did seem like, yeah, I guess I can understand why they weren't really telling kids that, like, this is what it was. Because, you know, kids all over America would just be throwing this shit in the fires like crazy if they had known about that. But his story opens up with these two characters named Denny and Buzz.
Denny was big, strong, and smart. Buzz was, well, kind of a geek.
Again, as a story for kids, it's like it just all these little details just make so much sense.
Yeah.
But it's these two kids who are brothers who are for some reason lost in the woods. I don't remember if they really explain why they're just walking in the middle of the woods. Both of them were very unlikable, like, right away.
Yeah.
Don't sweat, Denny. I know how to plot a course. You never trust me. I did trust you, and you got us lost, Cheeseball.
We're not lost.
Watch it. Great lamewad. Now we're lost and we can't read the map. You are such a loser.
I'm not a loser.
Because you have Denny, the older brother, who just is kind of a dickhead. And then Buzz, like, he is described as being kind of a geek and would seem to be, like, really smart and capable, but he just sucks at everything. So it's like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be rooting for this kid. Because right from the beginning, he acts like he's really good at navigation and he can get them out of the woods. But he spills his water on the map, so they can't use it. And then he reveals that he like swears that they've been going south this whole time, so they shouldn't be lost. And, oh, it's because he's been holding his compass too close to his belt buckle, so it's been throwing it off. It's like, man, this kid sucks. Like, I'm sorry. I mean, it's also just kind of weird because did you ever, like, go off in the woods as a kid and just fucking explore?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know, because that seems very dependent on, like, where you grew up.
Yeah.
Did you have, like, woods near your house?
Oh, yeah. I could literally walk to, we had a park near our house that just had deep woods.
Nice.
So I spent a lot of time out there.
Yeah, we had a big forest right next to our house that we would definitely go walking through, and it was one of those things. I mean, this feels like so different nowadays, because literally I would just walk out of the fucking house into the woods and I'd just be like, let's see how far I can get today. And I would just go.
Yeah, I kind of did the same thing, whether it be with friends, or I used to do it by myself too. I'd just walk around in the woods.
Yeah, I used to go with my neighbor like all the time. But the thing is, like, we did that enough. We knew our way around, you know, like, we knew all the paths and everything.
Same here.
Even though there was definitely no civilization out there. And I knew that there was, like, a stream if you went out far enough and you could follow the stream. And that was always fun because for some reason as a kid, streams are just fucking cool as hell.
Yeah, I mean, there was a stream, too, in our woods. And you'd just follow the stream and, yeah.
Every good forest needs a stream.
Yeah.
For sure. But, like, I never had a compass or any of this shit. Like, I don't understand, like, what's going on here, because
I mean, it's probably responsible to have a compass.
Yeah.
But when we would go into the woods, we never brought a compass. We just knew where we were going.
No, I don't think I knew how to use a compass. Like, I would have just been like, I don't even know what to take from this. But it just, it goes into what I was saying earlier about this being, like, such a campfire story where it's just like, yeah, it's these kids lost in the woods. It's like they don't need any kind of setup. We don't need an explanation or anything. But they get very lost. And as it starts getting later, they start complaining that it's cold. There's also that weird part where, like, The little kid, Buzz, he like falls off a cliff
and
his brother has to pull him up. Those are definitely those like exciting child moments where he's like, oh shit. But eventually, yeah, they see a flashlight coming their way and they wonder like, oh, maybe that's a park ranger or a hiker or something, which is also like very different time.
Yeah.
Very different that they just immediately are like, oh, here's someone who can help us.
Yeah.
This is great. And it turns out that it's like just some dude who is revealed later to be a taxi driver. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Oopsie. But I mean, he looks like a fucking taxi driver. You know, he just looks like that generic kind of person. So it's like, why the fuck is this weirdo out here in the middle of the woods?
You're not a ranger, are you?
Ranger? No, not me. I'm a traveler, same as you.
Flynn's the name.
Kids don't seem fazed by it. They immediately are just like, I guess it's an adult.
Yeah.
And we can rely on him to help us.
Yeah. Immediately trusting, which is also a problem.
Yeah. Different time.
Yeah.
Different time. But he takes them to see Dr. Vink, who has a house in the middle of the woods. Again, not asking any questions. We're just going to go see Dr. Vink.
Yeah. And I specifically remember that house.
Oh,
like,
really?
When that showed up, that like unlocked a memory for me. I was like, oh, yeah. I remember that.
That's weird because, yeah, that's I definitely saw this episode. It's just weird the ones that like stuck out in my memory,
mm-hmm.
you know, because this was all pretty fresh for me. I didn't remember too much of it. But they get taken to his house in the woods and he cryptically, this guy who we find out his name is Flynn, who leads them there. He explains that Dr. Vink with a V should be able to help them. But he hopes they're good at riddles.
Yeah.
A little foreshadowing.
He also kind of looks like Hagrid from the transphobic
Dr. Vink.
Wizard story. Yeah.
Yeah. Once he's introduced, I think I did read that this actor, like they liked him so much because he is just such a weirdo, like kid actor.
He's very expressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They reused him in a bunch of stories. And we saw that he was in the second episode.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, they go into the house. He has a telephone. But he quickly tells them that he will only let them use the phone if they can solve some riddles.
I don't suppose either of you are any good at riddles.
And there's plenty of like just great little kid shit where he's like playing with little brains and he has all these weird little jars and stuff. It's just like, ew. But right away, like he gives them one riddle that was so bad that we didn't even remember it. Like we were trying to read a recap to like get up to speed for this. It's like, I don't even remember this being in the episode.
Yeah.
And it was like something about like,
how far do you walk through a forest?
The riddle is like, how far can you go in the woods? And Buzz is like, ah, I know, halfway. Because afterwards you would be out of the woods. I still don't know what that means. That is the most nonsense riddle.
I mean, that kind of just applies to like anything. It can be halfway. I don't know.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either.
What does halfway mean?
I don't know.
I think this is one of those, like, it feels very much like my brother and me when they do the bad riddles. It's just like, just nonsense. You can't just come up with a question and a nonsense answer and call it a riddle. Like, it's not how it works.
That's how they did it back then, I guess.
Yeah. And that leads us to the main riddle, which he sets it up. I mean, it sounds like a legit riddle that I was thinking about. Like,
I was too.
I wonder what that could be. The riddle is, what is weightless, can be seen by the naked eye, and if put in a barrel, will make it lighter. That sounds like a normal setup for a riddle, but it stumps both of them, which also was funny because Buzz being like as useless as possible, he like insists that he's good at riddles, just like he's good at directions and everything else, and then is just absolutely useless, like has no idea what the answer is.
Did you have a guess when you were
I think my guess was fire.
Okay. I thought like a balloon.
You know, that is a better answer to the riddle than because I thought fire, because it's kind of like, I don't think it would really work with a barrel, but I was thinking like a hot air balloon,
mm-hmm.
how it can like I'm an idiot. I'm not good at riddles, okay? I'll be the first to admit that.
It's still better than the actual
Yours
answer.
Yours is better. A balloon would make sense. But they're completely lost, and it's just great how when they can't solve it, he's like, Dr. Vink is like, well, there is something else you could do. You could contribute to my research. And he pulls out like a hand in a jar, and the kids are like, oh!
What kind of specimen?
Something I can use in my experiments. Something valuable. Something fresh. Something like this.
And it's just like, it is such a little kid campfire story reveal.
Oh, yeah.
Because we just burst out laughing. It was just so fucking silly.
But you would be scared of that as a kid.
Sure. Yeah. But I go from that to like there are episodes like the second one with the clown that's like, that is legitimately upsetting.
Yes, it is. It's disturbing.
This feels way tamer and sillier by comparison. But it fits the tone perfectly. And so they run out, and he, I think Dr. Vink just lets them leave and explains that like they'll be picked up by a taxi, which will take them home.
Yeah.
Which, of course, doesn't make any sense until a taxi rolls up. And the person who's driving it, of course, is Flynn. Because, of course, this random guy who looks exactly like a taxi driver, I think it's no surprise that he is the taxi driver who's driving them. But it's like, yeah, it's such a campfire tale ending where he reveals, I guess, he found Dr. Vink. He says he drove him home to his cottage in the middle of the woods.
Whatever.
And he couldn't answer the riddle. So Dr. Vink took his hand. And he lifts his arm up with his sleeve over his
sleeve
hand.
Over. Yeah. It's so obvious.
Yeah, but you can see that's the kind of story that works so well, because if you're telling it, you could pull your sleeve up and be like, oh, just like this, you know? It's a perfect punchline.
Yeah.
Of course, kids freak the fuck out. And then he spins his head around backwards or something and just says that, I guess this is the whole thing now, is that if these people show up and they can't answer the riddle, then he comes back as a ghost and crashes them into the tree, which is what happened to him. Which, by the way, is no shit. He crashed into a tree. He had one hand.
He's probably freaking out.
Yeah. But yeah, as they're racing to crash into the tree, and he's like, you better hurry up because it's coming and it's going to be bad. He's really building it up the whole time, you remember?
Wait till you see the accident we're going to have. Oh, it's going to be a real doozy.
This is your fault. You said you could solve the riddle.
Yeah, and apparently I guess he has a specific tree, even if he's in a forest, and it could have been any tree.
Yeah, because he won't shut the fuck up about how any minute now, it's going to be gruesome.
Wait till you see the explosion we're going to make.
But that's when finally, I guess, Buzz pulls his shit together and gives his answer to the riddle, which no one in the entire world would ever be able to guess, which is the answer is a hole. It was so bad that when he said it, I think we had to rewind because we were like, what? What did he say? It didn't make any sense.
Say it!
It's a hole! It's a hole in the barrel!
But I guess a hole is weightless, technically, and you can see it, and it makes a barrel lighter.
Sure.
Doesn't feel like it really fits the... feels like kind of a cop-out answer, if I'm being honest. Doesn't really fit the riddle very well, but... whatever, it's a kid's story. And I guess it's somehow the actual answer to the riddle, because they survive. And then that's when the actual park ranger shows up and is very happy. His acting was very strange.
Yeah.
When the ranger shows up.
Yeah.
I guess he's probably just some random dude that they just threw in that costume. But it all ends happily ever after, because they get picked up by the ranger, taken back home. And when they get back to the Midnight Society, I mean, these kids are fucking shook. They are shook by this story. They are scared shitless. So when they're asked to vote on whether or not he can get let in, which By the way, he was telling this entire story blindfolded.
Yeah.
Like how, that's a little weird. Yes. Yeah. But I guess he earns the right to remove the blindfold and become a member of the Midnight Society because they all vote to keep him.
Congratulations, Frank. Welcome to the Midnight Society.
All right. Good job. Yeah. This is gonna be good.
All right. Yeah.
And I think another bit of trivia that I read was that, like, this is one of the only episodes where they don't put out the fire before they all run away.
Well, you have to, because Smokey the Bear would be very upset. Yeah,
you got to listen. Got to be responsible.
Yes.
You know, when you're telling these stories to kids. But that was the first episode. It's definitely, it's very silly. It kind of lived up to my expectations because it was, again, like I saw the TV glow. You know, it's that type of thing where these episodes really scared the shit out of me when I was younger. And then, of course, watching it now as an adult maybe feels a little different.
Yeah.
Like, especially that big reveal of the hand in the jar. It was just like, oh, this is just silly.
Yeah, very silly.
But it's great. I had a lot of fun watching it.
Me too. I actually am excited to watch more episodes, though.
Yeah, the second episode was fun. I don't know. Like, do you remember any other episodes?
I don't know aside if I can. These? I need to, like, see an image or something.
I think that's going to be the thing, because the only other episode I remember is that episode in the mall. And seeing pictures of that, it was just like, holy shit. Like, so many little details that just jog my memory. I bet there are other episodes that as soon as I start watching them, it's going to be like, oh, man. Like, I totally remember this. But what's really weird is I don't really remember if I saw past the first season.
I have no idea. I for sure was just watching reruns on Nickelodeon, but I don't know.
Yeah, because this, there are definitely shows like this that there was so much fanfare around it. Like when it came out, there was so much excitement. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know if I really stuck with it super long. But that's a fun part of being a kid. You know, these things are like, they're so fucking exciting. And I don't know. I think as an adult, you don't really have that same kind of excitement around stuff like this anymore.
I don't know. I wouldn't say that exactly. What do you mean?
Give me one example of a show premiere that has like as much excitement as Are You Afraid of the Dark did.
I mean, I can't wait to watch The White Lotus every week. Like
that feels kind of different.
Yeah. But I mean, isn't it different when you are older? But I still think there's some sort of excitement. Like Yellow Jackets. I can't wait, you know, to catch up on Yellow Jackets and watch a new episode. But I don't think anything's going to instill that type of like childhood fear or like spookiness, you know, like I think that's something special.
Yeah, it totally is. And I think the big thing I remember is with a lot of stuff like this, we would record it on VHS and then I would just watch it like on repeat over and over and over. Yeah. And that's why like some of the details stand out so much is just from like drilling it into my brain so much just over and over and over again. But it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
So hope you guys enjoyed. You could tune in next week when we will cover episode 2, The Tale of Laughing in the Dark. This aired August 22nd, 1992. But to give a little teaser, that's the one where we were introduced to bozophobia, which I will forever be referring to you as being bozophobic now.
Bozo dubbed over.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. But that's it for today. You can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod, and you can follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd where we rank. Nope. That's like so automatic.
Oh, well, you know, I will say though.
Yeah.
When they are doing the thumbs up around the campfire.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, if you were a kid in that position, you would hope everybody would give you a thumbs up. But it reminds me, I think the same feeling of that is when I get a like on one of my reviews on Letterboxd. It's like, all right.
That's funny. I wonder if any of the kids ever give like a thumbs down. You're like, fuck that. Know. That story sucked.
The whole circle just gives a thumbs down.
Yeah.
What story would that be?
But you can also follow us on TikTok and YouTube. And you can contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. And if you've made it this far, April Fool's you, bitch.
That's so mean.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be so mean. Yeah, it was April Fool's episode.
Yeah, it's April Fool's episode.
We're not doing this.
But it was fun to watch.
It was actually really fun. That's why we watched the second episode. It was like, well, I kind of want to watch this one too. But who knows? Maybe we will revisit this again someday. I don't know. Goodbye.
We put this out and then people are like, wait, are you actually not going to do it? What if people actually want to listen to this? We're going to have to review 100 episodes.
Let's see.
I did like watching it with you.
I mean,
it might be a good show to just like put on.